The scripture reading before the lesson will be in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Again, that's Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord.
Good morning, or good evening, good afternoon. Pick one. Good to have you all back. Hope that you had some good food, some good lunch. I had shrimp and grits. Really, really good. It is great to be back here in the presence of God, to worship Him yet again, and to do some more worship toward Him. He is the creator of all things. He is to be honored by us and by all men. And so we find ourselves back here again doing what he deserves to be done for him. I typically let you into my life to kind of let you know what's going on in my life, to kind of give you an analogy to jump starters into the sermon, yet I'm going to do it again tonight. I have been researching buying a vehicle for about 2.5 years. And as many of you know, I have a Tesla. And when you buy a Tesla, it's unlike any other car buying experience. You don't go to the car dealership and get the car. Well, you can't now, but back when I was researching, you couldn't. You had to go online and design your vehicle. And so I did that, went online and designed it. My specific specifications, my color, my everything. I just wanted to look the way I wanted it to look. It was my design. It made me feel empowered. It made me feel like this is really my car, as opposed to going to a dealership and seeing all these hundreds of cars and trying to pick one and make that one mine. This one I can actually design from the ground up and make it mine. It wasn't really my car, but it made me feel like it was my car. And when it came down to buying the car, I decided not to design my own car. I found somebody else's design and picked his. But I didn't like the color he chose, so I chose another color, but I liked what his design was. And so I picked the only color. I know this is going to shock most of you. My car color is the only car color out there on a Tesla. There's not another car that has that color. You probably didn't realize it, did you? No, you didn't. It's a midnight black purple. My favorite color is purple. And so when you look at the car, when you get a chance to, you'll see that it's got a purple tint to it. It's the only one on the planet like that. That design made it my car. You do a lot of designing things on your own, do you not? You design your house the way you want it to look. You make the curtains the way you want it. You make the floor the way you want. You buy the furniture that you want. You design it the way you want it to look because it's your house. You have the authority to pick and choose the house that you want, and you can make that house look any kind of way you want to. If I walk into your house and your walls are yellow, that's your poor choice. If I walk into your house and your walls are all white and your furniture is all white and your floors are all white and all your appliances are all white, it looks like an insane asylum, and that's up to you. That's your choice. You get to design that thing the way you want to. But when it comes to God, God does the exact same thing. As the creator of everything, God can design things the way in which he wants to, because he has the ultimate supreme authority to do that. And you and I can't change that. We can't go in and change the color to a color we want. We can't go in and do something that we want unless it is authorized by the Creator. So as we go into this subject matter, I want you to think about the subject of distinguishing between that which is common versus that which is holy. Too many, the names Nadab and Abihu are synonymous with taking liberty in worship. The presumption that one can approach God in whatever means he chooses and still please God. Yet the Bible always associates the death of these two priests with their offering of quote unquote unauthorized fire, found in Numbers chapter 3, verse 4. Certainly, these brothers stand as an example to all who doubt the necessity of having authority for what we do specifically in worship to God. But also, in a larger footprint, the same can be said of our individual lives. In all that we do and say, we need authority from God to participate in the activity or to incorporate that activity into our lives. The two preceding chapters of Leviticus chapter 8 and chapter 9 show the importance of the phrase, as the Lord commanded. In chapter 8, Aaron and his sons are consecrated, and you find that Moses becomes intimately familiar with the phrase about 10 times. So you go to chapter 8, and about 10 times, verse 4, verse 5, verse 9, verse 13, verse 17, verse 21, verse 29, verse 34, verse 35, verse 36, you find the commandment, as the Lord commanded. I love God. I love that he provides the example. I think every parent should do the exact same thing with their children. Raise your children up and have the phrase in the house, as your parents command. As your parents command. You don't need children's permission. You don't need to thank them for obeying you. No. As the parent commands, you do. Very simple. Very easy to follow. Then in chapter 9, you find it in verse 5, 6, 7, 10, and 21. You know, when you preach, it's always good to have everything that you need at your disposal. And right now, I didn't bring my Bible, but I have my phone. Sorry about that. Leviticus. Go to Leviticus chapter 9, the very last part of chapter 9, verse 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of the meeting, and when they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering, the pieces of fat on the altar, and when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. When everything was done according to God's plan, God's fire came down and consumed the altar, consumed the sacrifice, because it was done right according to his design. It was done correctly. Then in the very next chapter, chapter 10, you find Nadab and Abihu doing something completely different. Verse 1. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came down from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. It seems as though the exact same fire that came down and consumed the offering in chapter 9 would be the same fire that came down and consumed both men. But what's the difference? The difference is in chapter 9, it was done according as God had commanded. But in chapter 10, it was not done as God commanded. And so you have two different situations with different results and consequences. Woe to the individual who would knowingly decide to go against God's divine design. Woe to the individual who would disgrace God's divine design and choose his or her design over his. Such an individual or group will be choosing to live commonly versus holy. When we decide to go our own way against the designs of God, we are saying it's better to live commonly, which is defined as being profane, unacceptable. When we choose our own design as it pertains to God's design, we go against his divine will. To define common means to be to pollute, to defile, to profane. Holy means to set apart. It's sacred. And so when God talks about distinguishing between the two, he's asking and telling us that when we make decisions in our lives spiritually, we must be able to discern between the profane, the common, and the holy. Of note, when the sons died, Aaron, who had just watched his two eldest sons die, had to mourn in silence. Despite what he was feeling, God's commandment had to be followed. The thing didn't stop because of what happened to Aaron's sons. He had to remain where he was in silence. Can you imagine your two sons, whom you've just raised up, now have died before you? You are saddened inside, almost overwhelmed by the fact that your two sons are now dead. But he had to hold those feelings in and follow the commandments of God. As we understand God's perspective and requiring that we fully understand the difference between what is common and what is holy, we can make practical applications to choices we make in life. The God of heaven wants us to strive to be like him, to be holy, for I am holy, he says. To be holy or to not to be holy is obviously a choice that must be made. No one wakes up one morning holy. Referencing the story of Nadab and Abihu, we can readily see that being holy is tethered or connected to God's commandments and obeying them, and how the individual or the individuals must do so. Nadab and Abihu could not simultaneously declare that they are holy individuals while also knowingly choosing to disobey the command of the Almighty. Nadab and Abihu could not stipulate that God is a loving God as to justify their actions. Nadab and Abihu could not stipulate that God's design was outdated or unprogressive. Nadab and Abihu could not stipulate that God's designs were antiquated. They could not also stipulate that God's design is not in keeping with the current social norms. Nadab and Abihu could not stipulate that they felt some way about his process of worship and that they wanted to change it. When we choose a way of living that is contrary to God, we are preferring the common over the holy. You stipulate you feel more at home in common frame of mind versus a holy one. When your feelings and desires overrides God's commandments, you're looking to supplant God's glory with your own. Just because I disagree and dislike your point of view does not mean I dislike you, but I do disagree with you. Why would I say that? Because the thrust of this whole sermon is basically this. There are individuals who have chosen to go against the design of God. They have chosen to live a homosexual lifestyle. And that lifestyle is profane before God. It is common before God. It is not holy. When you choose to live that designed lifestyle, you have chosen one that God did not design. My disagreement with you might make you feel uneasy, but it doesn't mean your feeling is unwarranted. Sometimes it is okay and warranted for you to feel uneasy about a decision you are about to make. No one is obligated by law or by love to support every decision you make. In society, we have gotten to the point where if I don't support you, that's equivalent to someone not loving you. If I don't agree with you, you don't love me. And that is not correct. If an individual grows up in a home and is taught the gospel, they are taught the truth and they understand it, and they leave home and they go out there and start living a life that is against the laws of God, particularly they decide to be a homosexual, and they come back home and there's a discussion being made or being had, and the father says, I see that you're home now. And the son says, yes, I want to be home, but I want to tell you something. I'm gay. And the father says, that's a decision you've made on your own, and that goes against God's law. And the son says, you offend me by not agreeing with me. First and foremost, you offended the father. Before anything happened, you offended the father in heaven. That's who you have offended. You have a stalemate is what you'll have. The son wants the father to change his viewpoint. The father wants the son to change his viewpoint. Where will we go with this? What will we do with the stalemate? You must be willing to live with and live out the consequences of your choice. Sadly, the individuals who choose to live a life of a homosexual will find that they are walking in concert with the path that Nadab and Abihu took. They went against the designs of God and offered strange fire. When you decide to live a homosexual life, you'll go against the designs of God. Society wants you and I and everyone to be okay with it, to be fine with it. Go with me, please, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We'll start at verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you will surely die. Then the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. Let's put a peg right there for a second. Remember, back in Leviticus, God said, do these things in chapter 9 so that you, in Leviticus chapter 9, so that you will what? Not die. Follow the commandment so you won't die. God says, don't eat of the fruit of this tree so you won't die. Then in verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to all the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was no helper fit for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up the place of flesh, and the rib that the Lord God taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this is last bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to what? His wife. The design God made was for one man, one woman, for one life. That's the design. Anything else other than that is to go against a prescribed divine plan and design made by God. Go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 19. Genesis chapter 6, verse 19. And of every every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. When the ark, when the flood was going to come, God said, bring everybody into the ark. But he wanted what? Male and female. God didn't want two male alligators. God didn't want two male horses. God didn't want two male cows. He didn't want two male crows, two male doves. He didn't want that. Why? Because if he got two males, that species, that kind of animal dies out. No more reproduction. If he got two male doves on the ark, and when the floods receded and the two male doves were released, guess what you're going to have 6 months from now? Two male doves. What's going to happen a year from there? One might die. They might still be alive. But guess what you're going to have? Two male doves. Let's say they live 10 years. Guess what you're going to have? Two male doves. Even nature, which was designed by God, tells you that it's male and a female. Not male and male, or female and female. Leviticus chapter 18. Go there for me, please. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. The Bible says, you shall not lie with the male as a woman. It is an abomination. I don't know how much clearer the scripture needs to be on this matter. But it doesn't matter, it seems, how clear scripture is, because people are going to do what they want to do despite what God says. And that is an utter shame, that people will go against a design by God for their own gratification. It is not something you are born with. It is a choice. Then let me ask you this. Which one of us, knowing that someone is a murderer, would invite the murderer to stay in your house? This is a known killer. Someone who is known for killing people and having a love for killing people. If you don't want to answer that question, answer this one then. Go back to Nadab and Abihu and say you're standing next to them and you know they are offering unauthorized fire to God. And you say to them, I don't agree with that. I'm going to step over here. I'm going to step over here. I don't like that. And Nadab and Abihu tell you, you need to support me in this. I know what I'm doing. You should support me and love me. How many of you would go, okay, let me, okay, I'm over here with you. And then fire comes down and consumes both of them and you. How many of the people that saw that are now going to be on this side? See, there's a demarcation, there's a line. There's a distinguishing between the common and the holy. And God made that distinction. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, go there for me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, the now idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will enter into the kingdom of God. You practice these things. You do these things. This becomes your livelihood. That's why it is so distasteful to be around an individual that has decided in a public fashion to live against God's law. I don't personally know a lot of stealers. Not the Pittsburgh Steelers, but someone who steals. I don't know a lot of stealers that raise their hand up and say, I steal for a living. Can I come work at your bank? Or can I stay at your house? I steal for a living. I don't know a lot of people that do that. But for some reason, those individuals who profess this lifestyle want to raise their hands up in the air and say out loud that this is what I am, and I want you to agree with me. And I don't want you to disagree with me. They want to keep us silent while they talk out loud about what they believe in. It is obvious. We can go on from scripture to scripture to scripture, pointing out that homosexuality is wrong. We don't hate homosexuals. The fact that we tell them that what they're doing is wrong shows that we love them. There are some people, unfortunately, that hate the act of homosexuality so much that they actually hate the individual, and that's wrong. God is not like that, and neither should we be. We hate the sin, not the individual. And so as we walk through our lives, let's be admonished and encouraged to stand firm in believing that the God of heaven's designs are for our good. And that we do not condone, we do not believe in, we will not take our belief system and remove it against God. We won't condone these activities, whether it's lying, fornicating, homosexuality. We will not condone sin. We abhor sin. But we do express love to everybody. It is a hard thing. It is a very challenging thing to come across an individual that is like that and they are a family member. You have to make that distinguish between your love for God and your love for that family member. Which one holds more weight? Pray to God that you always have the love of God first and foremost in your life, and let that be the thing that determines what you do in your decisions. There may be somebody here tonight that's not a member of the body of Christ. You need to be. The Bible is very clear about that as well. And the man has done a big number on salvation. But the Bible says you must understand and know what the gospel is. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4 says that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it was through his death that you and I have life. And so the gospel saves. And so once you understand what the gospel is and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you must repent of your sins. Luke 13 and verse 3. You must then confess the name of Jesus Christ, Romans 10, verse 10, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins, 1 Peter 3, verse 21, Acts 2, verse 38. Baptism is the thing that saves your soul in terms of removing your sin. The world says you don't have to be baptized. The Bible says you do. If there's anybody here tonight that is a member of the body of Christ and you've lived in a way that has been unpleasing to God and you need to change your life, you too can make it right with God by coming forth and repenting of your sins and making things right with him. If anybody tonight or this evening falls in either of those two categories, please come now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.